Good morning, human rights activists all over the world. Welcome back to Communication Workers of America, CWA Human Rights Hour Power, Justice Field Hour of Talk, Solidarity, and Worker Power, right here on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you are visiting the beautiful city of Houston, you can take us home with you on kyokradio.org. You can listen to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or on your CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Thank you for joining us on the CWA Human Rights Hour Power Radio Show. It's about us. That's right. It's about us. Working agreement, solidarity, living wages, worker power, and simply human rights. We have a phenomenal show lineup for you this morning with Sir Reginald Small, Timmy O'Wiley, and Tay Atkins today. So don't you dare change that down. Tune in this morning. We will be having a union buster, the erasure of equity, that current administration's attack on woke language. We're going to talk about the 60th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama. Tea with Tay. Well, we sip, spill, and serve the real. We spill the truth, uplift the people, and call out the attacks on our rights, human rights, civil rights, labor rights, and women's rights, because when they come for one, they come for all. Then we're going to also end up talking about the fight for democracy this morning. Our union voices are ringing in every district from Alaska to Maine, Texas to Minnesota, Canada to Puerto Rico, because we don't play at CWA. The CWA Hour Power Radio Show extends our deepest condolences to the city of Houston, the family, friends, and the countless lives touched by the Honorable Congressman Sylvester Turner. His impact reached far beyond political office. He was a servant leader, a champion for the people, and a force for justice. A proud son of Acres Homes, Congressman Turner never forgot where he came from. He carried the spirit of his neighborhood in every fight for equity, economic opportunity, and progress. Whether in the halls of the government or walking the streets of Houston, he remained deeply connected to the community that shaped him. His leadership was defined by resilience, compassion, and an unwavering commitment to uplifting those most in need. Today, we mourn his passing, but we also celebrate his life and legacy. May he rest from his labor and receive his reward. In solidarity from CWA and the CWA Hour Power Radio Show. Want to continue to keep our union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette lifted up, as well as continue to bring attention to them being outside striking for 26 months on the picket lines. And while they're out striking, they're still churning out the news with facts for you and me. Let's show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. It is both a privilege and a responsibility to speak to you about a man whose life's work has shaped the course of civil rights, human dignity, and justice in Alabama and beyond. Senator Hank Sanders. Senator Sanders is not just a legislator, not just a lawyer. He is a warrior for justice, a voice for the voiceless, and a guardian of the legacy of the civil rights movement. His journey is one that embodies the very essence of struggle, perseverance, and triumph in the face of systemic oppression. Born in the heart of Alabama's Black Belt, he was raised amidst segregation where racial injustice was not a history lesson. It was a daily reality. But rather than allowing those circumstances to break him, they built him. Senator Sanders' passion for justice led him to the legal profession, where he became a civil rights attorney and co-founder of Chestnut Sanders, Sanders & Pettway, LLC, one of the most influential Black law firms in the South. And through his work, he fought to dismantle racial discrimination in voting, employment, and education. He stood with Black farmers battling discriminatory lending practices. He challenged policies that sought to keep Black communities disenfranchised and impoverished. He knew that the fight for civil rights did not end in the 1960s, but it merely evolved into new forms of oppression. And so he continued to work of the work of giants like Dr. King and John Lewis, ensuring that every generation that followed had a stronger foundation upon which to stand. For 35 years, from 1983 to 2018, Senator Sanders served as the voice of Alabama's District 23 in the state Senate. This was no easy feat. The Alabama legislature, like many across the South, was often hostile to policies aimed at racial justice and economic equality. But Senator Sanders did not waver. He fought to increase funding for historically Black schools, recognizing that education is the most powerful weapon in the fight against oppression. He stood on the front lines of voting rights battles, introducing legislation to protect access to the ballot box and combat voter suppression efforts. He was relentless in pushing for criminal justice reform, knowing that mass incarceration was nothing more than the new Jim Crow. And when others were too afraid to challenge the status quo, Senator Sanders spoke truth to power even when it was unpopular. Senator Sanders understood that history is not just about the past, it is about the present and the future. That is why he played a crucial role in preserving the legacy of Selma to Montgomery marches and the sacrifices made on Bloody Sunday. Each year, as the world gathers to commemorate those brave foot soldiers who marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, Hank Sanders has been there, not just to remember, but to continue the fight. He has been a fierce defender of voting rights, ensuring that we never forget that people bled and died for the right to vote. And as we face new voter suppression tactics, his voice reminds us that every generation must fight for its own freedom. Beyond the legislative chambers, Senator Sanders has been a leader in economic justice and Black empowerment. As a co-founder of the Alabama New South Coalition, he has worked tirelessly to increase Black political representation and create economic opportunities for marginalized communities. He has always understood that political power without economic power is an incomplete victory. His work has helped Black businesses grow, ensured that Black farmers had access to the resources that they deserved, and fought against the exploitation of workers. He believes deeply that the struggle for racial justice must include economic justice, because freedom means more than just the absence of chains. It means the presence of opportunity. Even after leaving the Alabama Senate, Senator Sanders has not retired from the struggle. He continues to educate, organize, and inspire the next generation of activists. His life reminds us that change is never given. It is demanded, fought for, and won through collective action. So today, as we honor his legacy, let us also commit ourselves to continuing his work. Let us stand against injustice in all its forms. Let us protect the right to vote as fiercely as our ancestors fought to win it. Let us ensure that education, healthcare, and economic opportunity are not privileges, but rights afforded to every human being, regardless of race or background. I leave you with the powerful words of Senator Hank Sanders himself, who once said, "The bridges to justice are never built in one generation. We must build upon what those before us have done, and we must leave something stronger for those who will come after us." Let us honor him not just with our words, but with our actions. The fight for justice continues, and it is up to us to carry it forward. You're tuned into KYOK 1140 AM and the All New 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. You can listen and subscribe to us every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or the CWA Strong app, your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, or Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Next up, we have the Fight for Democracy, America on the Human Rights Watch List with Timia Wiley. Good morning, Timia.
Good morning, Errol. Good morning, KYOK listeners. Today, we're going to talk about the fight for democracy and America on the Human Rights Watch List. The voice of the working people, the voice of the movement, and the voice of truth. Today, we need to have a real conversation about something that should alarm every single one of us. The United States has officially been added to the CIVICA's Monitor Watch List, a global tracker of human rights and civil liberties. Let that sink in. The so-called land of the free is now in the same category as countries where governments actively restrict civil rights, silence dissent, and undermine democracy. So why is this happening? According to CIVICUS, this decline is tied directly to the ongoing assault on democratic norms led by the current administration. So far, we have seen a crackdown on protests, with at least 12 states criminalizing demonstrations and even outlawing masks during protest. Censorship of journalists, which media access being restricted and reporters forcibly removed from White House events. The gutting of DEI initiatives as Trump labels diversity efforts illegal and immoral. A massive 90% cut in foreign aid contracts, severing ties with organizations that have historically supported democracy, labor rights, and human rights across the world. And let's be clear, this is union business. Labor rights, civil rights, and human rights are all connected. When governments suppress free speech, protest rights, and equity initiatives, they are attacking workers, unions, and marginalized communities first. Mandeep Tiwana, a leader at CIVICUS, called this an unparalleled attack on the rule of law, something we haven't seen since the days of McCarthyism. And if you know your labor history, you know that McCarthyism was used to target and destroy union leaders, civil rights activists, and anyone fighting for economic justice. So, what can we do? Stay informed. The more we know, the harder it is for them to suppress the truth. Keep organizing. Unions have always been on the front lines of defending democracy. Our fight isn't just for fair wages, it's also for justice. Use your voice. If they're working this hard to silence and displace us, that means our voices are powerful. Speak out in your workplace, your community, and especially in your union halls. For a final word, we cannot afford to ignore this. The U.S. being added to the Human Rights Watch List is a wake-up call. We either stand up together or risk watching our rights continue to slip away. Remember, stay loud, stay strong, stay union. This is the CWA Our Power Radio Show, where the movement speaks. Back to you, Errol.
You are correct, Timia. We must stay loud, stay strong, and stay union. And while you're right here with us, Timia, will you come on with the Union Buster of the Week? I just can't wait to hear that this morning.
I sure will, Errol. Give me just one second. I'm ready. So, welcome back to this week's edition of Union Buster of the Week. The show where we call out the companies that claim to be for the people, but are really just for themselves. And this week's award goes to the company that built its brand on connecting people, but is now more focused on dividing them. Can you guess who that is? Yep, you guessed it. It's AT&T. AT&T, once known for being a beacon of connection, is now pulling the plug on its diversity, equity, and inclusion and accessibility initiatives. Let's take a look at what's been happening. First up, job titles have changed, and so has their commitment. Michelle Jordan, who used to be AT&T's Chief Diversity Officer, now has the title of VP of Culture and Inclusion. Sounds fancy, right? Well, it's really just a smokescreen to make it look like they still care while erasing any accountability. And if you thought AT&T was still supporting LGBTQ Plus, community, think again. They've cut funding to the Trevor Project, an organization dedicated to preventing suicide among LGBTQ plus youth. Plus, I'm gonna say it again, plus they pulled their sponsorship for Turn Up the Love, a pride event that celebrated artists and activists. But wait, y'all hold up, it gets worse. Remember when AT&T encouraged its employees to wear pronoun pins to show solidarity? Yeah, those are gone now. In fact, AT&T won't even allow pronoun pins to be sold in their company stores anymore. A symbol of respect for the LGBTQ plus community erased just that quickly. And it doesn't even stop there. AT&T has pulled out of the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index, halted all DEI training, and replaced it with something called leadership training. Because, you know, leadership is more important than creating a fair and inclusive workplace. But y'all want to know what the real kicker is? AT&T is no longer awarding contracts or scholarships specifically designed for Black, Brown, LGBTQ plus, or other marginalized groups. Instead, everything is now based on so-called value and neutrality. But let's be real, okay? I'm gonna be real. Corporate neutrality usually just means keeping things exactly as they are with no progress. So what's really going on here, AT&T? AT&T wants you to believe that these changes are about fairness, but in reality, it's about appeasing anti-DEI forces and gutting protections for marginalized employees. If they're willing to dismantle progress for political gain, what's next? Pay equity? Union rights? If you're an AT&T worker wondering what's next, now is the time to organize, because your power doesn't come from corporate promises. It comes from solidarity. So AT&T, for throwing your workers and communities under the bus, you are now our Union Buster of the Week. So I ask you all to keep listening, folks. We'll be back next week with another company that needs to be called out for its anti-worker actions. Until then, stay strong, stay united, and remember, you have the power in your hands. And with that, back to you, Errol.
Yes, we've got to stay strong and we must stay united. You're listening to CWA Our Power Hour on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. You can listen to us live every Thursday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. The erasure of equity, the current administration's attack on woke language. This morning, we're going to be discussing this topic. We'll be breaking down a disturbing report from the New York Times that exposes how the current administration is censoring words related to diversity, equity, and inclusion in federal documents, grant proposals, and public websites. So, Timia, what's going on?
What isn't going on, Errol? That's the question. That is the question.
Yes, that is the question. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what isn't going on? We are being silenced slowly but surely. A colleague of mine who is based out of the DC area sent me a video of them tearing up the street, the Black Lives Matter street in Washington, DC. And that was an order from the new administration.
You are correct. The federal agencies have been ordered to scrub terms as well as allyship, climate crisis, gender identity, racial justice, LGBTQIA+, implicit bias, white supremacy. And that's just a sample. And this administration claims that it's about cutting woke language, but in reality, it is an attempt to erase justice from government policy.
Which is very unfortunate. We are rolling back the hands of time.
So, I mean, to be very real here, this just isn't the first time that language has been used as a weapon. Every time marginalized people push for justice, people in power try to silence the conversation. They try to put a spin on it. In the 1950s, it was McCarthyism. The government used communism as an excuse to silence activists. In the 60s, during the civil rights movement, activists were labeled radicals and troublemakers for pushing for equality. Then we flip over to the 80s, and I'm skipping the 70s, but we go over to the 80s. During the Reagan era, terms like the welfare queen were deliberately created to justify cutting social programs. Now, the same tactics, it's just brand new words. If they erase racial justice, then they don't have to address racism. If they erase gender identity, they don't have to have protections for the LGBTQIA plus rights. I mean, it just goes on. It's a spin on words, and in some ways, it's just propaganda. But it's effective propaganda if we don't speak up.
So, what does this really mean for us? It's deeper than just words. It's about controlling the narrative and denying resources. So, Reginald, how does this impact workers and unions?
Well, workers are people. Unions represent people. So this is a direct attack on labor rights. If we can't say racial justice, how do we fight for Black and Brown workers? And sometimes Black and Brown workers need a specific fight. So we need to be able to identify that. If we can't say LGBTQIA plus, how do we demand fair treatment for our queer workers, our people who identify under that particular umbrella? They're not just erasing words, they're attempting, and I want to use that word out there real clearly, because they can't erase it if we don't allow them to erase it. We have to keep saying it. But if they're not just erasing words, they're attempting to erase our ability to fight back. They won't succeed, but that's the attempt.
But it's not just the workplace. We have to think about schools, hospitals, public agencies are being forced to erase terms like affirming care, implicit bias. That means fewer protections and less funding, more harm to the marginalized communities. So these attacks are everywhere. They're in our workplace, but think about our children who are not educated on what's happening just yet. So they're erasing all of these things before our children's minds are even developed correctly to understand the meanings. They're giving them their own terms and meanings.
They are, but at what point are we going to get mad and do something about it?
Well, Tamia, I think specifically in union, we've made great strides, and we've been doing stuff even before this came. And I'm thinking of a term that my mother uses all the time, that we have been prepared for such a time as this. For the last few years within CWA, we have actually identified that there should be an intersection of human rights, representation, union. All of that stuff is what makes up our union. A fully functioning human rights program. I mean, we talk about this on this program all the time. Gender justice. That indicated that there were injustices in gender that we actually were in line with, and we rolled out programs to try to prepare people to understand the differences in sex, the difference sex versus gender, and gender versus sexual orientation, that there are three different things. We've tried to educate our membership, or our members, and even in our communities, the difference so that we could better understand people. In our union, it was so important and is so important that we understand that civil rights, human rights, and union, it all goes together.
Right. So
You're
labor, so you're
absolutely
saying that
correct.
labor is doing its part, but when are we as a collective, when are we going to bind together? Like, when are we as we the people going to get tired enough to say enough is what I'm asking, because enough has been enough.
Antimia, I'm glad you brought that up. We want to hear from you. Have you noticed words like diversity or racial justice disappearing in your workplace? Go to our Facebook page at CWA Human Rights and tell us and tag us with the tag Our Power Radio so we can know what you are going through. Antimia, I have a comment from one of our union members who wrote this. She said, my job used to do implicit bias training, but now they just call it professionalism training. But they've cut out all the racial equity content. See, this is how they erase progress while pretending nothing's changed.
I'm going back to something basic that I want us to be aware of because it's such a heavy time now. But once knowledge is power, I think we can all agree upon that. Once something is put out there and we have learned something, or we have we've ex once we know something and we know what is right, no one can erase that. That cannot be erased. Doing right, treating people with dignity and respect. No one with a stroke of a pen can change that. That is something we as individuals have to continue to push on the daily. I think there are so many things that's being thrown at us that we have to be careful that we stay focused and on track and on target of what we set out to do, which was to continue educate people, to continue to foster dignity and respect within our organizations. I think it's up to us to continue doing that. I don't care what you
Absolutely.
call it and what name you put on it. We have a duty as activists to continue to press forward and not be thrown off with every newsreel that comes out every day.
Absolutely, because when you know better, what
You do
do
better.
better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So basically, what I'm hearing is it is time for us to do better. And to do a little bit more. So we know that we're doing something, but it's time just to do a little bit more. We, as activists, we know what we're talking about. So it's our job to raise awareness, to correct misinformation, to put out information for things that people don't know are happening, to contact our representatives. That's the most important thing. These people that we are putting in seats are voting against our interest. We need to be contacting them and reminding them that their election terms come again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. Get mad. Get on the phone. Call people.
Let
Right.
fill them voicemails up until they
That's
can't take
it.
no more calls.
That's it. Get angry, honey. That's it. I'm
So
still
what do we
fired up
do?
from this past weekend, honey.
I know everybody's still fired up to from this past weekend. So what do we do? This and I know this is incorrect grammar because I know we have English teachers listening and things like that. But this ain't just about words; it's about power. And
Showing
here's
up.
how we fight back: we must raise awareness, and we have to talk about it in our unions, our workplaces, our communities. Contact our representatives, demand they oppose this language suppression, support organizations fighting back civil rights, labor rights groups, and pushing to restore diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility language in government materials. Then we've got to document workplace changes. If your employer starts removing diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility terms, report it. This could lead to grievances or legal challenges. And then we need to push a union, CWA, we need to push a union resolution demanding the restoration of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility language in our labor practices. How about that?
Think that's absolutely wonderful, Errol, and I'm actually smiling because you didn't use the acronyms DEI. You said diversity, equity, and inclusion, and I am encouraging all of our listeners to continue to use that. So whatever documents you're sending out, if it's a text message and it takes longer, use the words diversity, equity, and inclusion. They have meaning. This cutoff short term has been used as a weapon against progress. use the say it out loud so that we can process that it is not something negative. It is not something that needs to be destroyed. How can you see the word diversity and see it negative? How can you use inclusive and see it as negative? How can you use the word equity and see that as negative? It's absolutely impossible. Use the whole words. Words actually matter.
You are absolutely correct. My fellow human rights activists, this isn't just about words. It's about erasing the fight for justice. If they can control the language, they can control the narrative. Keep fighting and keep organizing. You're listening to CWA Hour Power on KYOK 1140 AM and the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. You can listen to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. It's 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. When we fight, we
We
win.
win.
Up next is T with Tay. Good morning, T. Let's hear it. We know you have a lot to pour this morning.
Good morning, KYOK listeners, and good morning to my union family. So, welcome to another powerful edition with Tea with Tay, where we sit, spill, and we serve the real. So, this morning, family, we need to talk. We need to have a real talk because what's happening right now with the attacks on LGBTQIA+ rights, the banning of trans healthcare, the criminalization of gender expression, and the removal of gender-neutral bathroom, this isn't new. Today, we're talking about something that should shake all of us to our core: the targeted attacks against LGBTQIA+ communities, the stripping away of trans rights, and the removal of gender-neutral bathrooms in Arizona. Now, let's be real. This isn't about a bathroom. This is about control, erasure, dehumanization. It's about lawmakers deciding who gets to exist freely in public spaces and who doesn't. Sounds familiar, it should. We've been here before, people. We've been here before. I've got to ask, Black Americans, have we forgotten? Brown people, have we forgotten? Have we forgotten how it felt when they told us we didn't belong in certain spaces? That we were dangerous, that we were unnatural, that our very existence was a threat to traditional values. Have we forgotten when we were told that we couldn't drink from the same water fountains, or y'all use the same bathrooms, or even talk in the wrong, or even walk in the wrong neighborhoods without fear of death? Because see, back then, when Black folks were marching for our rights to exist, we were fighting just to be treated like humans. Most of the country didn't even mumble a word. No one said a thing. When people were being lynched, people looked away. When we were being beaten in the streets, people walked past. When churches were being bombed, and I'm going back to Selma, when four little Black girls were murdered in Birmingham, they offered thoughts and prayers, but no real action. This is what Tamia was talking about. It's time for some real action. They watched us suffer and still said, now is not the time. They heard cries and said, we're asking for too much. They saw blood spill on a Selma bridge, beaten, battered, left for dead, before they finally moved. And now here we are again. Do we have to wait for all of this to happen again? Now it's trans folks, non-binary, queer folks being told that they don't belong, being erased, and how many of us are just watching in silence, just like they did us? We talk about it in the privacy of our own homes, but how many of us are speaking on behalf of our siblings? How many of us are waiting for trans bodies to be left in the streets? We don't have that time. We can't repeat the same cycles. When I went to Selma and I learned the history and I walked the history of Bloody Sunday, It fired me up because I had just came back from home and listened to the very people we elected basically do the same thing all over again. You tell someone they can't go to a bathroom because it's not comfortable for you. You tell someone that you want them to make you comfortable by dehumanizing them. The tax on trans community, it's not okay. Family, oppression never stops just with one group. So as we watch what's happening with our trans family, they're coming for our rights next. They're already coming for reproductive rights, then voting rights, then worker rights. They will not stop unless we stop them. There was a time when we couldn't sit where we wanted to, learn where we wanted to, or even exist in certain spaces without fear of violence. They told us it was about safety and tradition and about practicing, I'm sorry, and about protecting the children. The same excuses that they're using now to punish and to push anti-LGBTQIA laws. Again, this is not new. And let's talk about what happened when people ignored suffering. It took the blood of people on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma for the country to wake up. It took seeing bodies lynched, beaten, and brutalized before anyone decided to act. I repeat this because do we really have to repeat this? So I gotta ask, are we gonna sit back and watch history repeat itself? Are we going to stay silent? Are we going to be the reason that other humans suffer? Bloody Sunday, this time targets trans folks, non-binary folks, the entire LGBTQI community. Please, please, I want y'all, when we have these talks, I want y'all to really let this sink in. We need to do something. It is not about agreeing. It is not about agreeing or saying, yes, this is my belief. It's about standing up for one another because at a time, people didn't believe that we deserved someone to stand up for us. It's time to speak up because silence is violence. We're going to show up because showing up saves us, saved us in the civil rights movement, and it'll save lives now. We're going to vote with vengeance. Not just in November, in every election, every school board, every state legislator, because that's where these attacks start. Like I said before, these seats aren't permanent. No matter how much they try to make you afraid that this is where they'll sit forever, we the people are the power. It is time for us, family. It is time for us to speak out. This is not about politics anymore. This is about humanity. I refuse, we refuse, my union refuses not to stand up and be there for the people who were there for us. We will not face oppression all over again. We will not stand by idly and just watch the attacks on our family. We know what silence costs. Black and brown people, we know what silence costs. We've seen what happens when oppression is ignored. So this time, let's not wait for more blood to spill. We are moving now. So I want to encourage you all, you better be in your representative's face by tomorrow. You better be on their phone. It's time for us to say something. We need to defend our people. We can't just keep having these conversations in the privacy of our homes. It's time to have these conversations in the public. We need to stand and watch our trans siblings use the bathroom. And if we have to protect them, we know what protection used to look like. We stood together, we held hands, and we marched together. I want to tell my family, my trans family, my LGBTQIA plus family, I don't care what policy or procedure the new administration puts out, we stand with you. We stand beside you. We will march with you. We do not care. And I will say, because at the CWA, we don't play. So, family, thank you for tuning in to another segment with Tea with Tay. And it did get a little hot in here, I will say. So, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Arrow so I can get my fan out.
All I want to just say is E flat musicians, because we can go on and take this on home right here. T, I mean, Tay, you really poured the tea this morning. And I am so glad that you brought up Selma. So we're here today, and let's talk about Selma, because I've gotten text messages, I've gotten calls from all over the United States where people had saw us on in Selma this week on the bridge. And I posted this morning from the Selma Jubilee website. If you look closely, you have a we have a we're on their website or on their Facebook page. You can just see us with our human rights banner. So let's talk about Selma. I am just ecstatic about the 60th anniversary celebration. And I know the rest of us have the same sentiments. Reginald, what do you have for us today about Selma?
Well, Errol, I mean, I have so much about Selma, I don't even know where to start, but I guess I better start somewhere because of the sake of time. But I mean, that was my second time in Selma, crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge. But I'm living a part of my life right now where I don't go with expectation. I go and try to glean from the moment. So I didn't really know what to expect on the 60th anniversary, but I mean, I was just blown away from we were there several days, but from Friday, with the guest speakers, Dr. Ruth Cummings was one of the guest speakers who gave a personal account of what it was like being a young person in Selma with the with what was going on leading up to Bloody Sunday. And of course, to set the tone really quickly, I'm sure most people know it, but for those that don't, it is Selma. Bloody Sunday is what changed and inspired LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, to actually sign the Voters' Rights Act. It was a very serious time, but it was a long process leading up to it. Jimmie Lee Jackson's murder, of course, tragedy is what starts most of these things and gets attention. The tragic death of Jimmie Lee Jackson, I'm sorry, not Jones, Jimmie Lee Jackson is what led up to this. And it started off with what just wanted to be a march from Selma to Montgomery. And then it turned into something more. But it was all about voting rights. People thought, and rightfully so, that they should have a right to vote. And all the normal games that were going on, they wanted them to pay an expensive poll tax. They wanted people to actually pass a litany of foolish exams. And then they would say they were cheating and still not give them the right to vote. And at some point, enough was enough. People band together and stood up against an institution that seemed to be stacked against them. Does that sound familiar? Tay just got through talking about an institution that seems to be stacked against people, but they stood up together collectively and gained attention. Bloody Sunday, had it not been televised, the question is in my head, had people not seen that in other parts, would it have, would the progress been made? Probably not. So now we actually have media. We have things that can actually reflect and show what's really going on in the world to get the attention. Now the people must act. But I was inspired. The important thing with crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, I'm a historian, so I like to reflect back on time. I was actually inspired to continue to fight the fight. I know we don't like to repeat battles. I think it's a waste of time to repeat battles. But it seems that we are in a time that we must repeat battles. We must be prepared to fight again because we're having to do it. And my take on it these days is whatever is required, that's what we must do. And if Selma is what gives you that inspiration, and it should give you an inspiration because it was life-changing, not just for Alabama, but it was life-changing for the United States because it forced something to actually pass based upon a tragedy, and shame.
You're absolutely correct. And even though we see Selma is like stuck in time, we also realize that it is systemic racism that continues till this day in the city of Selma.
You're
And we
right.
talk.
So, I mean, you're right. You're right to some to some degree there. Well, I maybe to all degree. I from what I can understand that Selma was once an economic hub, but today it's one of the poorest cities in Alabama. I actually, while we were there, we actually heard some people's opinion mean being that that was a strategic effort, a punishment to the people of Selma. And I probably didn't know that and had never looked at it in that way, but that was actually a leader and a civil rights activist from Selma who actually said that. And so I have to leave there with that interpretation to give it some thought that it definitely could have been a systemic effort to punish the people of Selma for standing up and changing the narrative.
Well, I can really talk about it because I'm here, but I see Tay has something to say. Come on, Tay.
So I know I made the joke the whole time we were in Selma about that phone service, but I actually, when I got home and I thought about it, I started to think, what about the internet connection? How were they working or going to school, or how do they have access to the internet and things like that with such terrible service there? When you say frozen in time, that little city, I believe that it's a beautiful city and it gives you
Yes.
so much history when you walk down those streets. But
Yes.
let's be transparent. It's for so many politicians, it's a photo op to say, I've been here, I was here. But y'all, you can put a little funding into that little city and you can make it a lot better. Selma is a beautiful place full of history. I just want to throw out there, walking the bridge. Now, I am from Arizona, born and raised in Arizona. I read books about history, but I was in tears. I had my tears every few minutes because of that is a real moment for people. That lit my fire so much just to walk that bridge, to see the people who've walked that bridge before being wheeled down over the bridge. I smile so big because you don't get to live those moments all the time. And I was in that moment. It was a beautiful moment to see thousands and thousands of people sing old hymns together, walk and chant. It was beautiful. But as we talk about what we can do for Selma, do not let that beauty get lost. They need some
Yes.
funding. They need some help. They need something down there. And we're not discrediting, like I said, I don't want to discredit Selma at all because it's beautiful there. But what I'm saying is we need to put some funds back into Selma so that we can continue to teach our people the real history. I want to experience that again.
If I could be transparent, when I got to Selma, I didn't want to step foot on that bridge. Once I realized, well, who the bridge was named after and why they named the bridge after him and all the history of the bridge, I wanted to kick it over. I would just be transparent with you. But after speaking to my dad about it, it was my duty to stand firm on that bridge, on what we're trying to change today. It was my duty. To march across that bridge and make my voice heard and continue to make my voice heard because there are people that came before me who fought, died, were beaten, bloody to just march across that bridge. Selma is a beautiful place. And of course, because of politics, they have not been able to restore the city the way it was. And this is why it is important for us to continue to make our voices heard. Continue to march across that bridge. Go ahead, Reginald. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I just wanted to say that, some people are wondering what can we do? And there are people who actually feel helpless. You hear about certain things and you don't know where to put your resources or what to do. There is a wonderful museum at the foot of the Edmund Pettus Bridge, the Voters' Rights Museum, that has been
Yes.
run on volunteerism and donations for the last 30 plus years, is my understanding. I visited that museum twice, and it's a very intimate space, a very necessary and needed space. But like most museums like that, they need funding. They need funding, they need volunteers, and all of that. So, if you're somewhere listening to this and didn't get to go to Selma, or even if you did go to Selma and you didn't leave a donation, I encourage you to reach out to that Voters' Rights Museum there in Selma and ask them, what you can do, what can you do, or how can you donate, and how can you contribute to keep the history of Selma alive? It needs to be alive for the next generation, for those that will not get to fully understand or actually be in the moment, but you can do something there in Selma. But reach out and see how can you do it. Put your money to work, put your voice to work. If you know people that are going to visit Montgomery or Birmingham, encourage them to take the trip, the drive on over to Selma, and ask them to visit the museum and take a look at what is offered there.
You're absolutely correct. And at the end of the show, Tay, if you don't mind, will you put something on our human rights page where people can maybe follow a link to donate to the museum, if possible, if they have one out there, or put some information to where they can send monies to donate to that museum? Is that possible?
Yes, I can. I will look that up. And as we talk about social media, make sure you all are following us on CWA National Human Rights page. That's on Instagram and Facebook. What I want you to do is not only follow us, but I want you to engage. You talk to us about what it is that you want to see. You talk to us about what's happening in your town or your state that you need us to talk about or take action on, because that is what we are here for. So engage with us so that we can engage with you.
All right, thank you so much. Selma's story isn't just about the past, it's about the fight for the future. The same forces that tried to stop progress in 1965 are still at work today, keeping communities like Selma struggling while politicians and corporations profit off its history. But we know one thing: when the people come together, we change the game. Labor, civil rights, economic justice, it's all connected. If we want Selma to move forward, we have to organize, mobilize, and demand real investment, because nobody's coming to save us. We have to do it ourselves. So let's get to work. This is CWA, Our Power Radio, where we educate, agitate, and organize. Stay locked in, stay engaged, and until next time, keep fighting the good fight. The hour has come. As we come down to the final minutes of the show, our Union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette have been outside for 26 months, 2 years, on the picket lines. And yet, while they are striking, they are still churning out the news with facts for you and me. Let's show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. Once you subscribe to this free publication, how about going over and donating to their strike fund at cwa.org/ppg-donate? And I just heard someone shout, "We are one." That's right, we are one. In all of our awareness months, March is an awareness month as well. We must learn to take action and learn more today. When you take time to learn about others around you, you're making the world a better place. Awareness campaigns serve as a powerful reminder that there are steps we all must take in looking out for loved ones, the people in our community, and those who have been impacted. It's time to take one big step together and make a change. An hour is not long enough to be with you, and a week is too long to be away from you. You have been tuned into the CWA Human Rights Justice Hour Power broadcast. I hope something you heard today has inspired you to take action toward creating positive change in the world. Every person has the power to make a difference, no matter how small. And by working together, we can create a world where human rights are respected and valued. So I encourage each of you in the listening audience to reflect on your role in promoting human rights to effect change in your communities and beyond. Know that you are not alone in your quest for a more just and equitable world. When faced with injustice, it can be easy to lose hope and give up. But remember, justice may be slow, like the truth, but when it finally comes, it will stand. Until next Thursday, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on KYOK 1140 a.m. in the all-new 106.5 FM, KYOKradio.org.